Would you open your Bibles this morning to the New Testament letter of James in the New Testament? James chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 as we begin our thought today on the subject of faith that will last for the fire, faith that will see you through the fire. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Here's the bottom line. Faith in the trustworthiness of God and His promises produces rich dividends, rich blessings in your life. Let me paint a picture for you in words this morning, if I can. Can you do that? Just put on your memory hat for a moment. Try to picture this happening. There's a young businessman who's on his way to work in the city of New York. He's going to be riding the subway this morning. And he's wearing his $800 suit, got his $150 alligator shoes on. He's carrying a new leather attaché in his hand. And he's a mover and a shaker in the business world. I mean, he knows that he's got the world by a string. This morning as he gets on the subway, he's unaware of the fact that just up the line from where he was, another gentleman got on that subway this morning. Things were not going too well for him. Instead of the only thing moving and shaking in him is his tummy and his breakfast. And as people crowd in around him and the train begins to move, the subway car and the motion, he starts to get sick. And he's thinking after a few moments, oh my goodness, if I can just get to the next subway stop. He starts pushing his way through those people and get to the door. And when the door flies open, everything else will fly out and I'll be all right. And so the train pulls into the station. The door flies open. Everything flies out. He gets sick. And it falls all over that man with the $800 business suit and the $150 alligator shoes. And he's standing right there. In total shock, the door slams shut, the train starts off, but not before everybody could read his lips when he yelled, "What did I do?" Can you identify with that picture this morning? I mean, does it seem to you in your life that the world has just opened its doors and everything has just been dumped on you? Well, you may be like the fellow who owned a car and had an accident in his driveway. He wrote on the accident report, "I was backing up in my driveway. I hit my neighbor's car. It wasn't my fault. He was supposed to be at work." The world opens its door and everything flies out on you. What did I do? The key thought here is simply this, which we read just a moment ago. Trials come. Troubles come. Now, you can tell that to the man on the subway platform. I can tell you that this morning, but you need to read from God's Word the same thing. Don't overlook the little word in verse 2 there that says when. Let me read it again. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or trials." You don't get the opportunity or you don't have the privilege of selecting whether or not troubles come. They're going to come. God sees to that. You say, "Well, if I can just be spiritual enough, I'll come to Sunday school, I'll come back Sunday night, and I'll be here for Wednesday night prayer meeting too, then troubles won't come." You're wrong. Trials come. You think, well, doesn't it count to be spiritual? Well, what about Abraham? Do you remember Abraham in the New Testament and the Old Testament? In the New Testament, the Bible says, as it begins to list the heroes of faith, the first person that's mentioned there is Abraham. Abraham, who is a man of faith, a hero of faith. One day, Abraham is out with his only son Isaac, whom he loved very dearly. And God speaks to Abraham and he says, Abraham, take your son Isaac with you. Go up to Mount Moriah and make an offering to me. Be prepared for it. Take the wood with you and let the boy carry it. Get the knife you'll need for the sacrifice and take him up to the top of Mount Moriah. Now, Abraham's probably thinking like perhaps you're thinking and his son's thinking too. We're going to offer an offering to the Lord. What will we bring? And when he gets to the top of that mountain, God says, tie your son's hands and place him on the wood on the altar. Take the knife and offer your son. And Abraham raises up that knife to offer his son. And God says, stop. Stop. I meant that as a trial, as a temptation for you. As a temptation to see if you would be obedient, if you would trust me. Testing comes to all of us, even to the most spiritual among us. So it doesn't necessarily mean, what have I done? It simply means trials come. Be prepared for it. You see, God has given us a gift to deal with our troubles. You know what it is? It's called the gift of faith. Faith. What do you do when troubles come, trials come, difficulties come? Well, first of all, you thank God for them. There's a purpose and reason for that. The old King James Bible translates this word temptations. The New King James gives a different word, trials or tests. You can call them setbacks, troubles, difficulties, sicknesses, anything like that. But when the door flies open and it all flies out on you, the point is don't give up. Choose joy. Choose faith. You say, is that real? Can that really happen? How many of you last night happened to turn to Piers Morgan's interview on CNN with Kay and Rick Warren? You see that? Anybody see that? You saw that last night, didn't you? It was amazing. I wish all of you had seen that. Let me just step aside for a moment and tell you about something. Last April, Rick Warren, who's pastor of the Saddleback Church and Saddleback Community in California, a church that's so large it probably has some 30,000 members. Rick's been a faithful servant of God, good Baptist boy, loves the Lord. In spite of all that love, in spite of his faithfulness, in spite of everything he had and could use for his son, when his little boy, his third child was born, it was not his arm or his leg that was broken, but it was his mind. His mind was broken. And it was broken all his life. For 27 years, their son lived with a broken mind. People get, we are pretty sympathetic when you break a finger, you break an arm or leg, but what do you do when your mind is broken? Well, Rick and Kay did everything they knew to do. They prayed, and in spite of everything they did, last April, their son took his own life. Last night, Piers Morgan, in his usual, not too caring way, said to Kay, you wrote a book not long ago entitled Choose Joy. He said, you still choosing joy? She said, I'm choosing joy. How can you do that? Because God has given me the faith to believe that he has a purpose in all of this that's happened. Choose faith. Trials come. Trials come. They're going to come to you, but God has given you something. And that's the key thought here. Trials, troubles are meant to produce faith. Rick and Kay have that faith. So how can we smile when we are facing troubles? Because of our faith, our trust in God. Underneath those difficulties of life, God's given us, he's given us an adequate measure of faith to deal with each and every one of them. You would never know it was there. You'd never know that faith was there unless it were not for the troubles that you have. Honestly, you wouldn't. The word testing here is a term that we get from the smelting furnace. You take an old piece of rock and you dump it into a furnace and you apply the heat and the pressure to it and all of the dross burns up and what remains is pure, precious metal. The word for the refiner's fire is the same word that he uses right here, where it says, knowing that the testing, the refining of your faith produces patience. Without trials, folks, listen, remember this. Without troubles and trials and difficulties, the pure faith and the strength of that faith that God has given us would never be fully known. You'd never know it. Now, God isn't telling us this morning, and I'm not trying to tell you, well, troubles are fun. No, they're not fun. They're hard. He's telling us that bitter trials expose a precious gift that comes from God, a gift that is called faith. That faith makes a lasting change and impact on our lives, and that's good. All of us, I'm sure you know someone somewhere, you've probably met someone whose life just caved in under the pressures they were going through. That's not the purpose that God has. Sometimes people try to, instead of turning to the gift that God gives us, they try to find a way around it. They'll go this side, go that side, and we all do that to some extent. But sooner or later, we come back to what God is telling us here. He says, let trials run their course. Let those trials finish their work. It's easy to look at a trouble or trial for what it does to somebody else, but when it's happening to you or to me, that's a different thing. If you've never done anything to cause or create the difficulty, then you can't do anything much to alter or change it either. So let the trial run its course. Let it work its perfect work, that is to expose and reveal what Jesus gave to us when he died on the cross for our sin and our salvation. Well, this kind of verse, faith that we're talking about here in this verse, is the kind of faith that people like the lady who've heard that her son had a terrible motorcycle accident actually took place, and she was in the hospital when someone said to her, your husband just found out about the accident and he had a heart attack. And so her son is in one intensive care unit, her husband is in the other intensive care unit fighting for his life, and the lady and her pastor are standing out in the hallway, and she made this statement. She said, I'm not going to draw any conclusions from this until God has finished with it. That's faith. That's faith. James says that we're to rejoice when the fire falls, because in it we learn what faith is and what God has given us. So here's another key thought for us to remember. Trials perfect our faith. They make our faith strong. They perfect our faith. Verse 4 here adds that endurance makes us perfect, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And when James writes that word, he's not saying that when we are tried and when we have faith, it makes us sinless or we have some kind of moral perfection. No, he's saying instead it suits us for the task. It equips us for the job. So faith equips us. It makes us more mature. It brings us to maturity. You might say that faith gives us staying power. Staying power. You got it? Nod your head. You got it? It gives you staying power. I think about Helen Keller. Helen Keller never knew the beauty of sound. She never knew the beauty of sight. She was both blind and deaf. But listen to what she said in spite of that, the trial of living her life in that way. She said, I thank God for my handicaps, for through them I found myself, I found my work, and I found my God. So what's your handicap? What's your trial? What's your inescapable trouble? Don't dread it. Don't whine about it. Don't fret over it. Never accuse God of saying, you don't know. You don't know what it's like. I can look back at the trials that I've had. Some of them I well remember. They have produced qualities in my life that I could not have learned any other way. Qualities that made me better and not bitter. That prepared me for the best and not the worst. And I rejoice in them. At the time I was going through them, I wouldn't rejoice. They hurt. But faith perfects. Trials perfect our faith. And here's one more that you can write down as well. Faith prepares us for trials. It prepares us for more trials and other troubles that we may face in years to come. You know, life is a lot like a stage. And we're the actors on that stage. But you know, like every stage, there's a curtain drawn behind us. Out on the stage, things get pretty hectic and chaotic at times. Things are going on that we're not sure what we're going to do. But if you could only step behind the curtain, you would find behind the curtain a producer, a director. And that producer and that director has all the reservoir and all the reserves of everything that's needed for you and me on that stage to make everything work out as it should. Don't look at the platform, but look beyond it. Look to that reservoir that God has for us, that He has prepared for us. He never intends that we would draw from an empty well, but a reservoir that never runs dry. We don't earn it. We don't create faith. God gave it to us as part of His grace, and there are no conditions attached to it. Now, I've had people say to me, well, you know, you have to do this and you have to do that in order to have that faith. No, that's not true. Faith is a gift from God. It is a gift of God's grace. You can't earn it. We don't deserve it, but we can enjoy it, and we can use it, and it will equip us for the next trial and the next time the door flies open and the world dumps on us. Paul said to the Ephesians, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And that the word "that" there refers to the entire promise that He has made of His salvation. Even though we're required to believe for salvation, even though we trust that faith that God has given us and that it saves us, we can't exercise it by our own power. God works in us, not only to give us that gift, but to and make that gift alive and work within us and bring about that last key thought, which is trials bring blessings. They bring blessings when we live by faith. Look at verse 12. "Blessed is the man, happy is the man, complete is the man who endures his temptation, his trial, his testing. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." The same word for used in verse 2 about trials and testing is used here, trials. Those who live by faith endure the trials around them, experience the inward joy and peace that comes from God. Blessed is the man, happy is the man, complete is the man or woman who endures trials. But there's more blessing. Not only is he talking about a more abundant, meaningful, purposeful life here, but he says it's also the crown of life. It's life not only here, but hereafter. And there, James is referring to the word, the crown there that he uses is the familiar term that an athlete would expect to receive if he wins a race and does well. They take the leaves of a laurel branch and weave them together and put it upon his head and ride him through town as a hero. when we endure our trials, God has a crown of life, eternal life. C.S. Lewis sort of summed it up like this. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasure. He speaks in our conscience, but He shouts in our pain. It's the microphone to raise a deaf world. Another poet put it something in this way. He said, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she, but all the things I learned when sorrow walked with me. In the steps that you take in this day and in the weeks and months to come, and as you face the trials that are in front of you, remember to look for the faith that they'll reveal and produce. Pure gold, meaningful life, promises that you can trust in. And when you place your faith in the trustworthiness of God and His Word, the blessings that you receive will be more than you ever imagined. How can you have that faith? Simply by admitting you need it, asking God for it. Like Kay and Rick Warren did, choose joy, ask for faith, and expect miracles from God. May we pray together. Father, thank You for the words that You have spoken to our hearts, for the promises that You have made to each and every one of us. Lord, today as we think of these words and we remember the trials we've experienced, life has been at times like a door opening and things falling on us that we do not understand. But Lord, thank You for that faith that comes through Jesus Christ that strengthens us and makes us, equips us to live more abundantly meaningful lives here and now and hereafter. Be with those today who make choices that will shape their walk with You to walk by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come to this part of the time of our worship together, it's an opportunity that you have today to respond to something that God has spoken in your heart, identified in your life, and the faith that He's given you. It may be some decision that you would share with others. Jesus often invited people to share their decisions in their lives with other people around them. He invited them to come and follow Him by faith. He invited them to be a part of the family of God. And this morning we would invite you to share the decisions you've made by faith that God is leading you in your life. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, to walk you through the trials that come and equip you for when the doors fly open on you and you don't know what to do and you can't do anything about it, I invite you this morning to come stand with me as sign and recognition and confession that you're asking Jesus Christ to be the Lord in your life and to walk with you, to be your Savior. Maybe you've already decided that, but you've never shown that by being baptized and professing your faith in Christ, and you'd like to do that today, then come and share that decision with us. Let's stand as we sing together our hymn of invitation.
I need